Father, we love you this morning. We're so grateful. Father, we are so thankful. Where would we be without you, Lord? I can't even answer that for myself, Father. It wouldn't be a good place. We're just so grateful and so thankful for your mercy, your goodness, your love. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you will do. Father, you are faithful. You are wonderful. We bless you this morning. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, that I would speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, that way you'll get the glory. You'll get the credit. And Father, we thank you that the power of God is going to be in demonstration and manifestation here this morning. Father, hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And what I mean by that, Lord, is say something through me that strikes a chord where everybody's at, Father, that's pertinent to what everybody's going through. So, Father, I thank you you're speaking to us. I thank you you're giving us help, insight, direction, answers to things, revelation. And, Father, when you do speak to us, it'll be a sign unto everybody that you're real, that you love us, but also that this is a safe place where people can hear from you. And, Father, we'll make sure to give you the praise and glory for it. We won't steal any of that, Father. It's all because of you. It's not the name of a church. It's not the name of a man or a woman. It's all because of Jesus and because of you. So we thank you, Father. We look to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just real quick, an exciting announcement. I need to get everybody's faith on board with this. On Wednesday, as I was getting ready for service, let me back up. You know, this church started 7 years ago, even though we had our first service 6 years ago last Sunday. I started looking 7 years ago for a place in South Dayton. It was dropped in my heart in August of 2009 that I would be pastoring in September of 2010. And back then, I would meet with my pastor, Pastor Michael, and tell him some things that are on my heart. And I knew that my pastor had a vision about South Dayton years ago that a great door and effectual, or a great door of opportunities, open. You probably wouldn't start a church in South Dayton unless there was. And there's a lot better natural places, you'd think. And what I mean by that is nothing against this area, but, you know, you want to go where people are. And but God said to do it here. And I knew that starting it, that God was going to do a mighty work here. And we've seen some of those things. But he wants to do more. And in the lines of miracles, signs, and wonders, and healings, and different things. And I've known that. And there's different things that have been on my heart, just stirring for years. But I've learned the hard way, unfortunately. But the Bible says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain who build it. You know, there's things that you can do that naturally seem like good ideas, but they can fall flat on their face, and I've done many of those things. And so I try to just be led by what Jesus is saying. That's why we don't have a youth group right now. Why? Because God hasn't told me to do one. We don't have different outreaches and fun fairs and things like that. Why? God hasn't told me to do it. And so when God speaks those things, I'll do it. But on Wednesday in the afternoon, it dropped into my heart something that's been stirring for years that I've talked to my pastor about many times years ago and told him, and his response always is, you know, obey God and be led. But here's what dropped in my heart Wednesday afternoon, that we are to hold a healing crusade in South Dayton. Praise God. And I've known that for years, that we would do something like they would do in the old days, you know, where you would advertise and let people know and get the church on board and get people here that need to hear the Word of God. And the Lord's starting to give me direction that it would probably most likely be a Monday through Wednesday evening where we would preach the Word on the subject of divine healing and miracles and signs and wonders, build the people's faith up. And then the last night, lay hands on them and watch God do a work in this area, you know. That whole Miracle Mike thing, let's put it to the test. Amen? If God wants to do some things here, let's be on board with what He wants to do. And so the way it's going to take place and going to be successful is you have to understand I need your help. And I believe I pastor the best church in the world. I mean that. I just think the people are, you're so wonderful and so kind, and I love you so much. And one thing I believe is you get behind the things of God. And, you know, God can be ready, the preacher can be ready, but if the people aren't ready, we won't do very much. And the way that this is going to be fruitful, because we could all gather, but we all gather on Sunday and Wednesday. We always get our feeding, you know, and so we want to reach the people that are hurting out in the world. There'll be salvations and healings at this thing, but we're going to do it through, and the key word is bold. Bold advertising and bold promoting. And what I mean by bold advertising and bold promoting is you have a part to play in this because you have your own mission field. You have your own mission field at your Thanksgiving dinner table, at your work, at Walmart, right? At your friends and families. That's a mission field. And so what I'm going to have you do is we're going to be printing up when God gives me the time frame. I don't even know when we're going to do it. I just know I'm released to get you ready so we can do it. And We're going to print up, you know, invite cards, very professional invite cards, but they're going to be very bold. They're going to let people know exactly what's going to happen and what they need to do coming, because people need to know. You know, you got to come hear the word. I would always hear Brother Hagin in old sermons say, when I would listen to him, that, you know, he would tell people, come hear the word. And if I could get him to sit in the service and hear the word all week, I could get him healed. Why? Because their faith rises, and it takes people's faith as well. And so the card will be very bold on it, and what the responsibility is and what to do. But the thing that you have to do is you got to be bold in promoting and advertising it. And what I mean is you have to actually reach out to people, but just handing them a card won't do it. You need to hand them a card and be bold and say, listen, this is your help. This is your answer that you've been looking for. God's moving down in this church, and it's going to be a very special week, and you just got to put the pressure on God. You're not the healer, I'm not the healer, but he is. So let's put the pressure on him. He's put this on my heart. And so you're going to have to do that with bold advertising and different things like that. But other, starting now, what you can do is confess that it would be fruitful and that many would come and be healed and set free. That's what we need the church as a whole every day to be confessing, that many will come and it'll be fruitful and many will be healed and many will be set free. Amen? God is a healer. Praise God. God is a miracle-working God. And I'll tell you what, you want to see this church explode, start getting some of those, you know, one healing in the book of Acts led to 5,000 salvations. When the lame man was laid at the gate, beautiful. 5,000 people got born again because of that one healing. So can you just imagine, all it takes is one to set off a fire. My God. So you're going to have to do that. Praise God. Consecrate to confess and then to be promoting. And then last but not least is consecrate to the coming of the services. I know we're not used to coming to church Monday through Thursday, but we need people to fill seats. We need people to do nursery. We need people to greet people. If we have things after, hand out different things, people to talk to people, pray with people. We need people. And so I'm asking you to consecrate yourself, that, Lord, whatever you need, I'll do this. Praise God. And consecrate yourself to the promoting of it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're excited about that. It's been stirring in me for a long time, and finally got the release, so we're going to do it. Amen. But Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 is where we're going to start this morning. Hallelujah. Hosea 4 and verse 6, very popular scripture, but one that people need to know and understand. I believe this morning for a lot of people, light bulbs are going to go off as to why maybe things are the way they are and why things seem to stay the same all the time. And also, a service like today is exciting for me because one of the first things that I told the Lord that I was excited about was to tear down religious walls. Because religion has blinded people and made people suffer and made people think that God's not powerful and God's not real. And a service like today will show some things and set you on a new course. But it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that word there, destroyed, reminds me of the word in John 10 and verse 10 that says, the thief cometh. So when it's talking about destroying, being destroyed doesn't just mean your life ends. You can be destroyed mentally without dying. You can be destroyed financially and physically and emotionally. Anything that would be the flow of the enemy would be destruction, because that's what he comes to do. He comes to do it, and he does it very good. John 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so this verse here says that people can set themselves up to be in the flow of the enemy's plan, or what I like to call the devil's resume, which is stealing, killing, and destroying. They can set themselves up to be in that flow. How? By not having any knowledge. Do you see that there? That verse says people are destroyed not because of where they grew up, not because of their last name, not because of what part of the world they grew up in. They're simply destroyed for lack of knowledge. That tells me that if third world countries had the right knowledge, they'd be a little bit different in what's going on in their life. But see, light just hasn't sprung up there. The gospel can penetrate any darkness, praise God, but it just hasn't got there. So the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, we need to find out what he's talking about with this lack of knowledge. Because, you know, that's not what maybe we've been accustomed or groomed to think or believe. You know, we're told how bad the devil is and how scary he is, and, you know, life's hard, and when you get to heaven, things will get better. That's what we're told. But the word says, listen, the only reason you're destroyed is because you just don't know some things. It kind of goes along with what Jesus said, and we can turn there to John 8, 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Hallelujah. John 8 and verse 32. Now this is Jesus. Remember, the Old Testament said you're destroyed because you don't know some things. Well, Jesus said this. He said, And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. Well, what truth is he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God as truth. Amen. Amen. The Word is your, it's what you live by, right? It's what you go by. It's how we get our answers. It's what's real in the world, praise God. Because the natural can look real, can feel real, and can seem real, but if it doesn't line up with the Word, who cares what the natural's saying? That's the truth. The Bible's always the truth. You know, the natural circumstances and symptoms and checkbooks and different things and rumors and job things, they're not the final report. Right. Amen? Amen? In fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be a faith giant, you got to be able to have an eye of faith. And I don't mean a natural eye of faith, because your natural eye will see the job problems, will see the physical problems, will see the financial problems, will hear the chatter of different things going on. But the faith people have ability to see past it into what the Word says, right? A sick person who's in faith has the ability to see past the symptoms and the doctor's reports and the feelings in their body and see Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. A broke person who can't pay their bills has the ability to see through those stacks of bills and through that low checkbook. And they can see through to Philippians 4, 19. And they can have an eye of faith and set their sights on that and put their faith in that and then see the manifestation. Praise God. So that's the truth he is talking about. But notice this. The Bible says the truth, just like the lack of truth, which would be lack of knowledge, has the ability to destroy you, the presence of truth or the knowledge of truth has the ability to set you free. But here's the thing you have to know, is that the Bible doesn't say just the truth alone sets you free. It's knowledge of the truth that sets you free. It doesn't matter, and understand what I'm saying, I'm not blaspheming the Bible or belittling the Word of God. It doesn't matter that there's truth. It doesn't matter that there's truth. It matters that there's known truth. And this is, I've always used this example, and if anyone could beat a dead horse, it's me. And so I'll just keep beating it, praise God, until someone picks it up and carries it away. I'm going to just keep thumping on it. You know, this book, the Bible says, has the ability to set you free. Well, set you free from what? The destruction life. Anything that would inhibit abundant life, Jesus said you could have abundant life. He also said you could have heaven on earth. Anything that would hinder heaven on earth, right, praise God, is bondage. Sickness is bondage. Poverty is bondage. Depression is bondage. Fear is bondage. Worry and stress and anxiety, that's all bondage. That's not the abundant life that God wants for you. And Jesus said if you know the truth, it'll set you free from those things. Praise God. Hallelujah. But absence of the truth comes destruction. But this book, you know, sits on Walmart shelves. And again, we know the power of God's in here. You know why I walk in healing? Only because of the Word. You know why I walk in prosperity? Only because of what the Word. Why do I walk in salvation? Because of what the Word said. Amen. That's why you walk in all these promises. So it does have the ability to set you free. We could have people stand up here and testify till dark tonight of how the Word did something for them. How the Word sprung up and everything changed in their life. Hallelujah. But this is what you need to know. And I'm telling you what, open your ears and get this through your thick heads, because you need to know this. This book sits on Walmart shelves all over the world, and millions upon millions of people walk by this book every day with sickness, disease, poverty, depression, stress, and anxiety, and they walk by the truth, and the truth sits there, yet they're not made free. Why? It doesn't matter that there's truth. It matters when there's known truth. Amen. And so when people have this que sera, sera attitude with God, that whatever it will be, God, whatever you're going to do, you're going to do, it's just an absolute lie of the enemy to keep you in lack. Because God's not just doling out blessings to anybody there is. You have to know the truth, and then he'll set you free. Because he needs the truth, you to have the knowledge of the truth to flow through, and you'll see that in a little bit. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I think about blind Bartimaeus. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, it said he sat by the highway side begging, right? It said the Bible, when he heard that Jesus was there, he began to cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, this is what's interesting about that, is Jesus wasn't going to him. Jesus wasn't tracking him down, right? Praise God. He wasn't tracking him down. What changed for blind Bartimaeus was when he got knowledge. When he got, same with the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, the Bible said, suffered the many things at the hands of many physicians, grew nothing better, rather grew worse, right? When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind. 12 years she did the same thing, but this day was different. Why? She got knowledge. She got knowledge, and then she got set free. Jesus wasn't even tracking her down. In fact, he was walking away from her with a multitude of people that she had to press through. What am I trying to say? That God's not up in heaven doling out the blessings to you. You have to know the truth, then you'll be set free. So, praise God. Notice he said, you, everybody say me, you need to take a responsibility here. If you know the truth, you'll be set free. You have to know it. It's not enough for me to know it. It's not enough for me to preach it. It's not enough for your spouse to know it. It's not enough for the TV minister to know it. It's not enough for grandma or grandpa to know it. Until you know the truth, you will be in bondage. You will not be set free until you know the truth. Hallelujah. Now, he said the truth is the answer to bondage, didn't he? The knowledge of the truth is the answer to bondage. Because people in bondage walk by the truth all the time until they know it doesn't do anything for them. You know, when it comes to the test, what is the test? The test is the destruction. The test is the devil stealing, killing, and destroying. When it comes to those things, financial problems, physical problems, mental problems, job situations, things going chaotic in your life, when those things come at you, that's not the problem. You know, I was in school, and I'm not proud of this, so... You know, when I say this, young people, you don't have an excuse to say, well, pastor did this. I don't know nearly as much as what you know about God and being having integrity and character and different things like that. But when I was in school, I didn't do very good in school. I didn't apply myself, didn't really put forth much effort. I just did what I could. And what I mean by what I could is sometimes I wasn't the most honest even in school. Just did what I could to play baseball, to stay eligible to play baseball. But here's what was interesting. Is that I would get a test, and the test is just like what you get in life, right? Sometimes you get a financial test. Sometimes you get a physical test. Sometimes things just go crazy in relationships. And just different things happen in your life, and tests come. And it's just like the teacher lays down the test on your desk. Well, the same person next to me could get the same test. It was interesting. That girl that would always sit next to me, she'd get 100s on them. I'm thinking of a specific one who I always tried to see her paper. And I'm just telling you, I'm not proud of it, and don't do it, kids. That's not the way you want to live your life. But that's what I did. I always tried to see her paper because I knew she always got good grades. But here's the thing. She got the same test as I got. I would fail it or just pass it barely, and she would pass it with flying colors. Well, what's the difference? The difference wasn't the test. It wasn't the problems or the questions on the test. The problem was the taker.
Yeah, that's great.
It was the taker of the test. It's not the problems that come your way and the mountains that you have blown up so big in your life. Those aren't the problems, because the truth is the answer to all the problems. The truth always trumps and obliterates the question. It always takes care of the problem. So if you can get in the know, you can be set free from whatever you've magnified in your mind that's so big. Praise God. It was never the problem. She didn't have any problems with those questions. Why? She had the answer. She had the answer. Well, why are people destroyed for lack of knowledge? Because when the test comes, they don't have the answer. Because you got to know the truth. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So we better get in the know. We better get in the know. Praise God. And it's up to you to make sure you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Praise his name. Hallelujah. I want to show you something about knowledge. Again, this is the kind of stuff that will tear the religious walls down and light a fire under you to do the right thing. 2 Peter. He said, you shall know it, so you better know it.
Right.
Amen. You better know it. Well, I guess that would tell us why some people are in bondage. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be doing all the right things and have hell break loose in your life, but you know, there ought to be some victory sometimes. There ought to be some overcoming going on at some point there, right? If it's constant stress and chaos and crisis after crisis with no victory, I would check up on some things. And he said one reason people stay bound is because they don't know. So let's look at some things. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 2, grace and peace. What's grace and peace? The abundant life. I don't know about you, but I've never been peaceful sick. Have you? I mean, I've never been peaceful broke. Where, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. Can't pay my bills. Oh, I like this. This is fun. Let's stay here. No. Now, you can live in faith in those things, but I'm talking about really settling down and just enjoying the poverty, enjoying the sickness. I've never had peace being depressed. I've never had peace being stressed or in fear. Well, the Bible says grace and peace. What is that? That's heaven on earth. It says multiplied. Now, I'm not a math major, but I know that's better than the word add. Grace and peace multiplied unto you. Well, don't you want that? Kim Lai, would you please go pull that up in the Amplified, Jake? Will you help her with that if she doesn't know how? We're training different people back there on the new overhead system we have. I want to just show you what that says in the Amplified, if we can get that up. It says, may grace, God's favor and peace. Now notice this. Which is perfect well-being. That's no poverty. That's no sickness. That's no stress, anxiety, and worry, and depression. May God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you, the full personal price and precise and correct knowledge, now notice this, of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Go back to the King James in that real quick. So we see that grace and peace is perfect well-being. That's all your bills paid with enough left over. That's healing from head to toe. That's soundness of mind. That's your children serving Jesus. Amen? That's all those things. Praise God. It's favor with believers and unbelievers. That's what it is. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now we say, okay, how's that happen? Well, I know how it is happening for a lot of Christians. They're on their faces begging and pleading and moaning and groaning and griping and crying out to God, saying, oh, Lord, help me. He's saying, I did help you. You got to understand something, that this message can come off as being callous and cold because it puts such responsibility on you. But you have to understand, God already did his merciful part. He already demonstrated and displayed his mercy 2,000 years ago by giving you Jesus and then giving you his word. So it's not that we're putting God on the sidelines and saying he's a cold, callous God. He's already done his mercy part. Now he's saying, partake of my mercy part. Hallelujah. He says, grace and peace. So how's the abundant life, that perfect well-being in your life going to come? This is where you're going to see the emphasis is on you. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through. So it has to flow through some kind of a forum or some kind of an avenue to get to you. Grace and peace has to come through something. What does it come through? It comes through the knowledge. My people are destroyed because they don't have knowledge. Jesus said, if you have knowledge of the truth, you'll be set free. So now he says the grace and peace. Now you can see why people are destroyed, because when they don't have knowledge, there's no vessel for the grace and peace to flow through. Grace and peace flow through knowledge. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and God. Praise the Lord. What is the knowledge of God? What is the knowledge of Jesus? The Word. The knowledge of God is the Word. The knowledge of Jesus is the Word. You want to know what God thinks? Read the Bible. Excuse me. You want to know what God's take is on a subject? Find out in his Word. That's why it's called his will. When someone leaves you a will, you find out what's in it, right? I've told you this before. My father-in-law, every single gun better have my name after it. Right? In the will. Praise God. I'm hoping anyways. Or at least Caleb's. Somebody's. Hallelujah. Maybe relay this message to him. Let him know what my expectations are. But he said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge. So it comes through the knowledge of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Do you see that there? Comes through the knowledge of the Word of God. Now this is why, and you have to understand this, why this works this way. 1 John 5 and verse 4. We looked at the last 3 weeks of faith series. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory, or this is the playbook, or this is the avenue of victory, even our faith. So whether or not your life is good or not depends on your faith. Right, ladies and gentlemen? How your life turns out has more to do with you than God. I know that's not what we're taught and what our minds wants to say, but it's a truth. How your life turns out. Why? Because he says, you overcome or don't overcome based on what you do with your faith. So faith is the overcomer, but here's what you have to understand. Faith needed to be born. Faith needed to be birthed. A lot of times there's no faith in people's lives because it's never been birthed. You want to know what faith's mama is? It's called knowledge. Knowledge gives birth to faith. Why? Because when... go with me to Romans 10. I'll show you this. We'll break this down. What? Yeah, so let me just say it this way. You say you're believing God for healing. You say you're believing God for prosperity. Well, then my question to you would be, what do you know about healing? What do you know about prosperity? What do you know about the favor of God? I mean, you've heard Pastor talk about it. You've heard somebody else talk about it. But what do you know about these things? Praise God. It's one thing to know of something. It's one thing to be intimately acquainted with another thing. So Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Think about salvation. What's salvation? You're born again. You accepted Jesus. Did that automatically just fall into you? No. I mean, I have the gentleman here led me to Jesus. You know, I grew up with the wrong knowledge. I mean, I had grandma, bless her heart, she's in heaven now. My God, I hope she's nicer. I'm telling you, that woman was so mean to me at times, you know, and she got a little better towards the end. And, you know, when I had my 26 jobs in 2 years, I think that's why I used her as an excuse for dying so many times, because I was just, I got so many jobs saying grandma died today and never came back. And so someday I get to tell her about all that. She'll think that's good. I think people are nice in heaven. I'm hoping anyways. Oh, my God, I'm hoping. And she would thump me over the head with the Bible. And I never thought I was good enough to receive salvation. I thought I had to jump through religious hoops. I thought everything in my life was too much. And then I met this guy. And I saw how the joy in his life and their marriage. And we played baseball together and he was excited. And I was depressed and I was miserable. And I was drawn to that. I was like, how can life be that good? Like, what gives? What are you smoking? I need some of what you got. Because what I got's not making me happy like it's making you happy. What are you drinking? Because whatever it is, give me some. Because he had joy and he said, it's Jesus. I said, what? I didn't want anything to do with Jesus because grandma was associated with Jesus. I said, keep me away from Jesus. I'm serious. But then I saw the real Jesus. But see, I didn't just take his word for it, neither did he want me to. He opened the word up. He said, here, the Bible says this, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. You don't have to jump through religious hoops. It's easy. God loves you. God loves you so much. Praise God. And told him, I said, man, that's good news. But see, salvation didn't just come to me. I had to get knowledge first. The grace and peace had to flow through knowledge. Well, the Bible says here in Romans 10:13, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then verse 14 says, and this is how it works for every promise. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Because you have to believe in Jesus. So you have to believe in him. But then it goes on to say, how can you believe in something if you haven't heard? I could never believe in the right Jesus until somebody told me about the right Jesus. Well, when I heard about the right Jesus, the arms open, compassionate, merciful, take me as I am Jesus, what happened was I got knowledge, but when I got knowledge, faith started to rise up on the inside of me. Why? Because the Bible says in a few verses down, faith cometh by hearing the word. When you hear the word or hear the knowledge, all of a sudden there's a baby born. It's called faith. Yeah, praise God. Knowledge is laying on that hospital bed, giving birth to faith, praise God. That's what happens. And so it says here, how shall they not believe, or how shall they believe if they haven't heard? And this is, how shall they hear without a preacher? So they got to hear it. But once you hear it, you get the knowledge. Knowledge rises up. See, the knowledge doesn't bring the blessing. The faith brings the blessing, but knowledge can't show up until faith can't show up until knowledge gives birth. And knowledge gives birth once you get the Word of God on the inside of you. Then all of a sudden, oh, there's Jesus. Oh, I just have to receive Him. Well, then faith rose up. Faith was born. And then I release my faith. How do you think it's going to come for healing? Yeah. When you find out what the Word says about healing, and you get so intimately acquainted with the Word that you're so convinced that no matter what your body's saying, no matter what the doctor's saying, you know your God's a healer. When you get that kind of knowledge, faith's going to rise up. You're going to release your faith, and that's when the manifestation's going to come. So why are people destroyed for a lack of knowledge? Because with no knowledge, no faith. Same way with prosperity. You hear the Word, faith rises, you release your faith, the manifestation comes. But see, it all starts with knowledge. Knowledge brings faith. So go back to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse, we stopped at verse 2 there. This is different than what I was taught growing up. This is different than what friends and family are still experiencing. Just they're waiting. I mean, man, they're just waiting for God to do something. Well, they're going to be waiting a long time. You know, I'm convinced, I've seen it in the Word, so I'm convinced by the Word, that the children of Israel, the Bible says, they wept and complained and moaned and groaned. They wept before God, and He didn't just say, oh, you've tugged on my heartstrings. Go on in. No, He said, you're going to pay. You're going to reap that. He said, whatever you've spoken in my ears, I got to do it to you. You're going to wander for 40 years because that's where your faith is. Notice that. And that's the way Christians are. Oh, I just want God to do something. You think you're going to tug on His heartstrings. You know what tugs on God's heartstrings? Faith. God is only obligated to faithful people, the faithful ones. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which show up at church, no. Blessed are they which are Christians, no. Blessed are they which moan and groan and give God a sob story, nope. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled. The hungry ones. You want God to show up on your scene? You better get into faith. You'll never get into faith until you get into knowledge. It just won't happen. Praise God. My people are destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge. Well, it goes on in verse 3. It says, according as His divine power. Now notice this. Don't shout this out loud. We don't want to embarrass you today. But that next word, hath, is that word past tense, present tense, or future tense? That word's past tense. Hath. Now here you're going to see something that's going to shake your religious mind here today, but we need to shake those things out of you anyways. According as His divine power has, that means He's already done whatever He's about to say, has given unto us all things. Now let me ask you a question. Are your unpaid bills all things? They are. They fall in that category. Hallelujah. Is the job you need an all thing? Is the spouse you need an all thing? Is the healing you need an all thing? Absolutely it is. Well, He said He's already given us all things. And you might get in your religious head and think, well, I know God would want me spiritually blessed, and I know that God wants my spiritual walk with Him to be good, but this natural pastor, I think you're hitting on that a little too much and getting in the ditch on this. I'm not too sure God's really concerned with your natural well-being. Well, let me ask you this. If you're that kind of a parent, I'm glad I'm not your kid, because are you only concerned with your kid's spiritual well-being? Because yes, I'm thankful Caleb got born again, but once he got born again, you know what I want him to have? Money. You know what I want him to have? Health. You know what I want him to have? Protection. You know what I want him to have? Soundness of mind. Why? I'm his dad. So God's not just concerned with your spiritual well-being. He's concerned with your natural well-being as well. Why? He's a good father. He's a good dad, praise the Lord. And so He says, I've already given you all things. You say, well, I don't know. Those all things, are they just spiritual? Well, it says all things that pertain unto life and spiritual. Life and godliness. So everything you need for your life, now get this, because I know what your answer is going to be, and your smart aleck remarks will be then, why aren't I seeing it? Preacher, if you're saying it, where is it in my life then? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm getting there. Hold your horses. He says, that will pertain unto this life and godliness. So the Bible says, your money you need's already been provided. Your healing you need, already been provided. The job you need, already been provided. Yeah, the spouse you need, already been provided. The provision, everything that you need, has already been provided before the foundations of the world. Praise God. So why then, Pastor, am I not seeing it? Well, we got to see what it comes through. Through the knowledge of Him, of the Word, that has called us to glory and virtue. Your money, your job, your spouse, your health, your soundness of mind is going to come through the knowledge of the Word, which is going to build faith in your life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Go to Job 22 and verse 21. We're getting close here. Job 22 and verse 21. Job 22. Sayings in America are lies of the devil. Ignorance is bliss. No, it's not. It's dangerous. Well, what you don't know can't kill you. Oh, yeah, actually it can. It's a lie from the enemy. What you don't know can hurt your life very bad. Praise God. Job 22 and verse 21. Acquaint. Become familiar. Acquaint now yourself with Him. What's Him? The Word. He's the Word. Fellowship with Him. Him speaking in your heart. That's the Word too. Acquaint now yourself with Him. And notice the result. Be at peace. The result of acquainting or getting knowledge, right? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. That's what that verse says. Acquaint yourself, become knowledgeable with Him, and be at peace. That'll be the result. Thereby good shall come unto you. When will good come unto you? When you acquaint yourself with Him. when you get knowledgeable. Now I'm going to say something that might seem a little bold and might make you a little uncomfortable, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. When people come up to me and they ask me to pray for their healing, and I tell them, okay, well, I'll hook my faith up with your faith. But you say you're believing God for faith or for healing. What do you know about healing? I've heard you say that God's a healer. Not enough.
Come on.
You know, there's people in here that I know of, but I don't really know you really well. I'd like to get to know you, but there's people I just don't know very much. But I know her.
Yeah.
I'm well acquainted with her. Praise God. And there's people that just kind of, well, I know of healing, have no idea about healing. Now, don't take this as pride, because this is available to anybody, but why do I walk in divine health? Why can I stand here and tell you when symptoms come in my body, and I can rattle off the promises of God left and right about what God has said? I know how it worked in the Old Testament. I know what it came through Jesus. I know I'm redeemed from the curse. I know Jesus bore it on the tree. I know by his stripes I'm healed. I know he's healed all my sickness and disease. I know the word has healing power. Why can I do that? Not because I have some pastor anointing that came on me, because I took the time to get acquainted with him. Why? Because I like peace. Why, when financial tests and trials come my way, can I sit here and tell you that not only did Jesus pay for my sins, but he paid for my sickness and my poverty on the cross? That he was rich, but he was made poor so that I, through his poverty, could become rich. That he's got a full supply for me. That he was Jehovah Jireh in the Old Testament. He's Jehovah Jireh in the New Testament. Why can I do that? Because I took time to get to know him. He was more important than the television. Now, I'm not against TV. I plan on plopping myself down there and being depressed just as much as you are this afternoon watching that game. I'm going to be there with you. So we all are going to need a pick-me-up after church. Just get in the Bible after church, after the game. I'm not against it. I'm not against recreation. But I am against it when it robs your time of learning about him to be peaceful. And I say, okay, what scriptures are you standing on? What promises, because you have to know to have faith. What are you standing on financially? What are you standing on for your kids? What are you standing on for the job? They stand there and look at you with a blank face. Well, you're not in faith then. And I'm not saying you have to know chapter and verse. I don't know chapter and verse and everything, but I know what the word says about certain things.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Acquaint now yourself with him. Be at peace, thereby good shall come unto you. We need to get acquainted with him, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get knowledge on him.
Amen.
Praise God. So last but not least here, we're going to close this up. Luke chapter 10. What do you do with this knowledge? I'm going to show you here. The first thing, it's no longer acceptable to stay ignorant.
Right.
Well, it is if you want to be destroyed.
Sure. Yeah,
if you like being sick, stay in the ignorant category.
Yeah.
You like being broke, stay in the ignorant category all you want. I don't think you should, but where did I say to go? I don't remember. Luke 10. Hallelujah. In Luke 10 and verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet." So we have two sisters here in Martha's house. Mary decides to sit at his feet and hear the word. What does the word bring? Knowledge. What does knowledge birth? Faith. What does faith bring? Victory. Hallelujah. It's very simple, actually. And she had a sister and heard the word, verse 40. But Martha was cumbered or worried about much serving. The Bible says she was troubled about many things. And she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone, and bid her therefore that she help me?" So we're in Martha's house, and Martha's running around doing all sorts of things. But the opportunity to hear the word was there. The opportunity to gain some knowledge was there. The opportunity to send knowledge into labor was there. The opportunity for a birth was there that day. Praise God. And so she's busy. How many of you know life's busy? There's things going on. There's recreation. There's fun. There's jobs. There's this and that. But if you have to know the truth to be set free, you're going to have to make some time to know the truth. Because it doesn't just show up in your head or in your heart. So let's find out what Jesus' take was, because I'm not belittling people's schedules. I'm not belittling people that they're busy and things are going on in their life. But also, there's a truth to this, that there's a destruction waiting for the ignorant and the unknowing. So we can't just, don't get mad at the preacher and have this attitude of, you don't understand my life to sit there and tell me that I need to make time. Listen, I'm trying to keep you out of being destroyed. I'm trying to make your life harder. I'm trying to make your life better. And he says, Martha, Martha, you are careful, worried, and troubled about many things. Now notice this. But one thing, everybody say one thing. One thing is needful. Jesus said, there's one thing. You're doing all this other stuff and putting priorities, and God knows you have a life, but there's one thing that cannot be neglected, ladies and gentlemen. And Jesus is telling her, I understand that you have a life, but there's one thing that you can't put off to the side. He said, and Mary has chose that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What did she choose? Knowledge. She chose the setting aside to gain knowledge, so knowledge could give birth to faith, so faith could bring victory. So the first thing you need to do with knowledge is you need to make time and consecrate yourself to receiving knowledge.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's the truth. Praise God. Now, last but not least, when you make time, now, let me say this. It might seem confusing at first. Know what you need to know and then go down the road of knowing it. Know what you need to know and then go down the road of knowing it. You need to know what you need to know. What do I mean? If it's healing you need, you know that you need to know healing. Now go down the road to find out about it. What do I mean? Get in the Word on it. Go back on archives and listen to it over and over again. Get books on healing that, you know, a lot of the books of the month have you know, I can point you in the right direction on stuff. Know what you need to know, then go down the road for it. Remember the gentleman that got healed? The Bible says he was impotent in his feet. Since birth, same heard Paul preach. Paul looked down, perceiving he had faith to be healed. Why did he have faith to be healed? Evidently, Paul was not preaching about finances that day. Evidently, Paul was not preaching about tithing or whatever that day. Paul must have been preaching on healing. The Bible said the guy got faith for healing. You know, I went through a situation years ago as a Christian where I dealt with an intense amount of condemnation. I'm talking about condemnation to the point where it sent me back to where I was in high school when I had that 357 Magnum in my mouth with the hammer cocked. I'm talking about depression like that. Now, I never got to that place again, but that's the thoughts that came into my head. That kind of condemnation, that kind of beating myself up that I'm worthless, I'm no good, I'm disqualified from ministry, God's not going to use me, why would he want to use me, I'm this and that. Well, I wasn't enjoying that. That's not a fun place to be. But the Bible says if you know the truth, see, the test, the condemnation in the test wasn't the problem. It was the lack of knowledge. It was the unknowing of the truth. So what did I do? I heard a message by Pastor Nancy Dufresne on condemnation. And when I heard it, I just wept because I knew it was my answer. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, 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 and hearing. That condemnation had such a stronghold on me that hearing one time of the word wasn't enough to bust that thing off me. So I was not enjoying it. I don't know how. See, I'm just convinced sometimes people just are okay with what they have. They're just okay with just paying their bills. They're just okay with just getting by in their body. I'm not just okay skimping by in life. I want the abundant life to the full measure for me and my family. And so I started listening to that message, and I listened to it, and it set me free. But then hour later, started to have thoughts beating myself up again. So what I did, If knowledge brings faith and faith brings victory, I'm going to get as much knowledge on this condemnation as I can. And for a year's time, I listened to that CD over 1,000 times. That was just what I heard through my CD player. That didn't count all the times that I quoted it when I was working, when I was showering, when I was laying in bed to go to sleep. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I knew every inflection in Pastor Nancy's voice. I had her accent down pat. I had every pause in the message to where I could hit it the exact time that she was. Why? Because I listened to it over and over and over and over again. You say, is that what it's going to take? I don't know how big of the stronghold of poverty is in your life. I don't know how big of a stronghold of believing that God's okay with you being sick is in your life. But whatever it takes, the Word can bust that off if you'll put forth the effort. If you'll put forth the effort. It was worth it. I'm free now. I'm free. It has no place in my life. It doesn't have an entrance anymore. Why? The Word shattered that thing. Praise God. The Word will shatter that poverty mentality, that sickness mentality, that depression, that fear, that anxiety, that worry. But you have to take time to become knowledgeable. That's why Jesus said, you have to know it. So get in the know, ladies and gentlemen. Find out what God has said about your life. Get it in you until you're so convinced. I am so intimately acquainted with healing. I am so intimately acquainted with prosperity, not because I'm wonderful and some special person, because I've taken the time to become intimately acquainted with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why do I know my children better than your children? Because I've spent more time with my kids. Yeah. Why do I know healing? Why do I know prosperity and know the word? Because I've just spent time with them. And you say, well, you're a pastor. That's what you get paid to do. No, I'm talking about before I became a full-time minister. I got acquainted with him and was walking in these things. Amen? So get acquainted with him and be at peace. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We are thankful. We are grateful for all that you're doing, for all that you've done. Lord, you have laid the steps to victory out for us. It's up to us. We can stay ignorant or we can stay knowledgeable, and we can get knowledgeable. It is completely up to us. And so, Father, we choose to not stay ignorant. We choose to not stay destroyed. But we're going to get in the know, and faith's going to be born, and we're going to use our faith, and we're going to watch our lives be full of victory. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, this just came up in my heart. The reason some of you, now I'm talking about personally and, not just a job, but businesses as well. The reason that you struggle, this just came to my heart as a word of knowledge, is because you've never even gotten knowledge on God's will or God's plan for that thing you're setting your hand to. In your head and in your mind, what you're doing, and again, whether it's a business or a personal job, I just know this is concerning finances and an income. You've put your hand to something without consulting God on it. Therefore, you have no knowledge. Therefore, you can't have much faith for what you're doing because you think you're in faith, but it's empty words because it was never His will. And the Bible says you can only have what He says you can have. And so whoever that's for and whoever that is speaking to your heart, there's a remedy to that. It's called repent. It's called, Father, what do you want me to do? I'll do whatever you want me to do. And you might think that sounds scary, but that's where your prosperity lies, doing it His way. And there are people in here, you're struggling over and over and over again because you're doing something that you put your hand to, and Psalms 127:1 is not active in your life. You're building the house. God's not building the house. You're laboring in vain, and it's a constant struggle, and that's not God's flow for your life. So get in the know of what God wants you to do, because we know what the Word says, but there are certain things in our lives that will not be scriptures. There's certain things like which house to buy, which person to marry, which job to take, what business to do, whatever to do. I would just say it this way. If I'm struggling over and over and over again in my job or in my business financially, I would be checking in with headquarters to find out why. And if he says, well, you're just in a faith battle, keep on believing, then keep on believing. But there ought to be some victory sometime. There ought to be some breakthrough. It shouldn't be year after year after year of scraping to get by financially and wondering, there's better out there, but the Lord has to build the house. Father, thank you for that word this morning. Thank you for that word this morning. You're faithful. So you need to get the knowledge of God on that by seeking him, and he'll speak to your heart, because you might not find a scripture. You'll find scriptures, he wants you prosperous and wants you blessed, but then you got to find out the details. The Holy Ghost is what pinpoints you, the accurate of how to walk out prosperity. The Holy Ghost will tell you. How to walk out favor and victory, that's what the Holy Ghost's job to tell you is to say, hey, make this turn, make that turn, don't go through that door, avoid this pitfall and that pitfall. That's how you get to be accurate of walking out prosperity, is walked out through the leading of the Holy Ghost. So you need to be led on these things. Father, we're thankful for those things. We're thankful for that word, Father. Whoever that pertains to, Father, I don't know. You haven't revealed it to me, and I don't want to pretend to think I do know. But, Father, I know it applies, and so we're thankful for that word. Let's thank him this morning. He's good to us. Even if that wasn't for you, thank him for the person it was for. Hallelujah. I don't know who it was for. I don't even have a guess. But I know it was for somebody, or maybe multiple people. But I know it was good. Thank you, Jesus. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. We thank you for the move of the Holy Ghost. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, everybody in here, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Oh, man, when I ask myself that question, I know the answer's heaven. Say, how can you be so sure, preacher? Because the Bible says if I ask Jesus into my heart, he'll save me. He said, I don't have to, church attendance didn't get me in, giving money didn't get me in, all the bad things that I did and lying about grandma over and over, that can't keep me out of heaven. The only thing that can keep me out of heaven is if I don't do the right thing with Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I sure would like to go to heaven, but I'm not sure that I would, or I'm not sure that I would be included in that. Well, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, you're qualified and you're a candidate for heaven. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus, you're qualified and a candidate. And the only thing left to do is invite Jesus in. He's a gentleman, not the SWAT team. He's not going to bust the door down. He wants you to open it. He wants you to invite him in. He's knocking, but he'll just stand there and wait for you to open it. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. But if you can say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus this morning. There's nobody looking around. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You don't even have to become a member of this church. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and ask him to come in. Anybody here at all with heads bowed and eyes closed wants to receive Jesus, would you slip your hand in the air? I'll have you put it right back down. We're not going to embarrass you. I don't like to rush this because I see that hand. I see that hand. You could put it down. Anybody else want to receive Jesus this morning? Don't let this pass you by. We're not trying to embarrass you. Your life's about, you say, how do I know? In your heart right now, your heart is saying, raise your hand, raise your hand. Your best life's about to happen to you if you'll let Jesus in. Anybody else want to receive Jesus before I close? I see those hands. You can put those down. That's why I don't rush it. Thank you for your boldness. Praise God. Anybody else? We're not in a hurry. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? We've had four hands. We're so thankful. And again, you're not going to be embarrassed. You're not saying I'm joining this church or whatever. You're just saying, I believe in Jesus. Well, if he's offered you such a free and wonderful gift, it would be stupid not to receive it. That's how good he is. Well, Father, I don't see any more hands. So I trust that the rest of everybody's accepted you. But if not, it's not the raising of the hand that gets us born again. It's the believing and the confessing. And if there's anybody listening by live stream right now or in the archives in the future, and you want to get in on this, you can. So now if you raise your hand, listen to me closely. I promised you I wouldn't embarrass you, and I'll stick to my word. But you do have a part to play. You have to invite Jesus in. It's not enough for me to invite him over to your house. That's rude. You have to invite him into your own home. So what we're going to do is we're going to invite him by asking him to come in, but you're not going to be the only one saying anything. I'm going to ask everybody in this church, including the four people that raised your hand, to repeat this prayer after me, but mean it with all your heart. I'll tell you what to say, but you just go ahead and mean it with all your heart. So if you raised your hand, as well as everybody in the church right now, go ahead and say this. Say, Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can look up here. If you raised your hand, congratulations, number one. I do have a small gift for you, a book I wrote a few years ago on God's goodness. It'll help you in your walk with him and tell you about all the wonderful things that he has for you. But also, if you raised your hand, listen, you're going to heaven. You're born again. He's taken up residency. He said, I'll never leave you. But if you want to experience all that God has for you, the prosperity, the victory, the health, the favor, all that good stuff, long life, protection, freedom from mental and emotional torment, you need to get in a church with a Bible-teaching pastor who will tell you about it, give you the knowledge, so then you can have the faith to go out and receive it, praise God. Jesus said people that don't have a pastor, they struggle in life. And so it doesn't have to be here, but it does have to be a Bible-teaching church. I give you my word, I'll be that for you if you want to stay here. But plant yourself. Don't let this be your only day. That you need to get knowledge on these things to walk in. Heaven's great, but man, you got a long life to live to get there. I want to live in health. I want to live in wealth. I want to live in peace. Praise God. So get in a Bible teaching church. Don't forget, as soon as we dismiss, down in the old sanctuary, just out the doors and to the left, we have some goodies down there. We'd love to see everybody fellowship. But before we're dismissed, let's just thank Jesus one last time. Give him praise and glory. We love you, Master. We love you so much for everything you're doing for us. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30. You're dismissed.